I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Exodus this morning. Exodus chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse number 13. As you stand out of respect to the Word of God as we do. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse number 13. We kind of jump into the middle here of God calling Moses to go down to Egypt to bring the Israelites out. Moses, of course, makes many excuses, and that's where we find ourselves here. One of those excuses in verse 13, as Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. As we look into it today, may you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Last week, being Memorial Day weekend, we began looking at the subject of memorial days. We, as I mentioned last week, we'll be looking at, Lord willing, 8 different memorial days in the Christian life. Now, last week we looked at the memorial of the Passover. That had to do with our salvation. We spent the entire time last Sunday morning looking at that one subject, because it's so important that we go back to the day of our salvation and remember what we were before that day and remember what we became on that day and remember the cross, what Christ did to purchase our salvation. Boy, what a wonderful day that is to remember. I want to look at, Lord willing, the other 7, and in order to do that, we're really going to have to run this morning, so please try to keep up. Most of these, in fact, all these but one are in the Pentateuch, the first 5 chapters of the Bible. The last one will be in Joshua, the next will be all right there at the beginning of our Bibles today. Memorial days for the believer. Now, Memorial Day, if we just take Webster's definition of the word memorial, a memorial is simply something to help people remember a person or an event. Now, there are many things in God's Word that He wants us to remember, many events He wants us to keep in mind, and that if we'll keep these things in mind, it will help us make it through this pilgrimage on this earth, help us keep our perspective in balance as we journey toward our eternal home. Now, the first of these memorials we'll be looking at today, we saw here in Exodus chapter 3, revolving around this incident, this conversation of God with Moses. And Moses asked God, "When I go and tell the people that the God of their fathers wants them to leave Egypt, who do I tell them is their God?" And so God, of course, answers by telling him, "I am that I am." In verse 15, he says, "The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." And so the first memorial that we want to look at today is the memorial of the name of the God. The memorial of the name of the Lord. This is so important that we remember who we serve, because this is where it all begins. In fact, it's interesting that if we would just take these as they appear in the Word of God, it gives us a picture of the Christian life. And it all begins with understanding who God is. Because if we don't have an accurate picture of who God is, we will oftentimes lose the sense and the need of a salvation. If we don't understand the holiness of God, we will never recognize the fact that we need a substitute to die in our place, that we might have fellowship with this holy God.
If we don't understand who God is, that He's the living God, then we can say, well, that was good for the Jews in the Old Testament time, but I live now in the 21st century, and so why should I go to this God? Let's find a new God, let's find a modern God, and let's worship that God rather than that old-fashioned, archaic God of the Old Testament Jew. But the fact is, He tells us there that He is the God of the living. He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He's the God who always is. Now, another truth we find in there, not just is He the living God, but He's the God of the living. He says, I am still Abraham's God. Now, Abraham had long been gone. He says, I'm the God of Isaac. Isaac also had been gone for many centuries at this point in time, and Jacob as well. Israel had spent nearly 400 years wandering, or at least there in captivity in Egypt, when God said this. You see, this gives us the promise of an eternal home. This gives us the promise of eternal life, because He is still our God when we leave this earth. We don't leave our gods when we leave this earth. We simply go to our God, Jesus Christ, known as Jehovah in the Old Testament. And so we must keep in mind who He is. He's the living God and the God of the living. And so when we come before God and recognize who He is, we don't have any difficulty bringing our request before Him. We don't have any difficulty knowing that He understands what we're going through, that He can look down from heaven and see your circumstances and see the difficulty, see the heartache, see the trials, the turmoil that are going through your life right now, see the struggles you're experiencing, because He is a living God. He knows all these things. And so I think oftentimes it's wise just to go back in our mind as we meditate in the Word of God and just remember who God is, who it is that we serve. Well, let's turn over a few chapters to chapter 13 and let's look at a second Memorial Day in the Word of God. Exodus chapter 13. We want to look at verse number 8 and verse number 9. In this chapter, Moses is getting instruction from God regarding some of the feast days, the Feast of Unleavened Bread to be particular in what the verses we'll be looking at. And it tells us there in verse 8, "And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt." Now what we find here in verse number 9, he's talking about a sign upon thine hand and a memorial between thine eyes. What is he talking about when he is talking about these? Well, we know in the New Testament era, we had these things, or the Jews had these things called phylacteries. Now a phylactery was something that would be attached to their cuff of their garment. And they would wear a strip around their head, almost like a headband, that would have a little box that would rest on the middle of their forehead. And these were called their phylacteries. And in those two items would be scriptures from the Word of God, from the Old Testament scriptures. And in essence, what they're doing is, in response to this verse, when God told them to keep the Word of God at your fingertips or on your hands and in your mind or placed between your eyes, as it's stated there, He's saying, I want you to remember at all times that your lives are governed by My Word. And so what we find here, a second Memorial Day that we're looking at today, is a Memorial Day of the Word of God. We need to remember the primacy of God's Word in the life of His children. So often we try to live our Christian life separate from this book. And you know, every time and everyone who tries to live a Christian life separate from that book will fail. Will fail miserably. And an interesting aspect, on the other side of that coin, you can have an unbeliever, you can have someone who's as lost gets, but if they'll live according to the standards in that Word, in that book, they will have a successful, prosperous life. Because the principles given in this book are good for all of time and for all of man, but especially for the believer. Now it's interesting, the two places He tells us to put the Word, actually three places in that verse. We're to put it on our hands. In other words, God says everything that you do should be dictated by the standards of the Word of God. And so as we go about an activity, we should ask ourselves, before we become involved in that activity, is this something that I can do according to God's Word? Or is this something that the Word of God forbids? You see, we need to keep it on our hands. We need to keep it controlling everything we do, but we're also to keep it between our eyes. Everything we would look at, or everything we have in mind, the Word of God should dictate our very thought life. We have so much going on in the world today to lure us away from the Word of God. But God says, use this Word. Keep it as a memorial day. Remember the primacy of this book, and it will keep you on track. It will keep you walking that straight and narrow path to many rewards on heaven's golden shore. But it also talks here in Exodus chapter 13, verse 9, about having the Lord's law in our mouth. In other words, we're not just to keep it to ourselves. We're not to harbor it to ourselves. We're not to control God's Word, but we're to speak it out publicly. And in the public square, the Word of God is to be mentioned, is to be spoken of, is to be brought out so that all can come under the hearing of the sound of God's Word. Now, they're going to respond differently. Some will respond very antagonistically. They'll grow very angry. Some will be very offended that you mentioned the Word of God. Now, they're not mad at you, but they're mad at God, because what you say convicts them. The Holy Spirit will convict even the unbeliever of their sin in order that they might call out to a Savior who died for those sins. But they're experiencing conviction at the sin in their life because you were faithful to the commands of God's Word and you were speaking that Word. And so they experience this anger, this conviction. Others will just laugh it off and scoff. Those who claim to be agnostics and atheists say that this book is as no other book. And they say, the Word of God, the Bible. You still believe that old fairy tale, they'll say. And they'll just laugh it off. But there's coming a day when that laughing will cease, isn't there? There's coming a day when they too will bow the knee, when they too with the mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You see, they can laugh it off now, but I say so often that 10 seconds after death, there are no atheists and there are no agnostics. 10 seconds after death, everyone becomes a believer. Everyone believes that there is a God, and everyone, including the hard-headed Muslim fundamentalist, including the Buddhist, including the Hindu, everyone will acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord over all, and that all these other religions are false, that all these other religions are a road leading to the same place, and that's hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. 10 seconds after death, everyone will acknowledge that. Every last soul that's ever walked the face of the earth, or that ever will walk the face of the earth. And so there are those who will respond in anger, those who will respond in I don't care type of an attitude, laughing off. But you know, there will also be those who the Holy Spirit will convict and God will speak to their heart. There'll be those who will respond in a very positive manner. They'll say, you know, you're right. I was wrong. They'll acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Savior and that they need saving by this one who's hung on Calvary's cruel cross. And so we need to keep the memorial day of the name of the Lord, remembering who we serve. We need to keep the memorial day of the Word of God, remembering the primacy of the Bible. But we also, turning over to Exodus chapter 17, have a third memorial day we want to look at this morning. Exodus chapter 17, verse number 14. Exodus 17, 14, God says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And so God says there's another memorial day that I want you to keep, Moses. The memorial day of the judgment of God on the enemy of God. You see, the Amalekites attacked the Jews as they were leaving Egypt, as they were traveling towards the promised land. The Amalekites instituted an attack on the Jewish nation, figuring they could hit them while they were weak, hit them while they were soft, hit them while they were weary from the travel. And so the Amalekites came and they attacked. Saw the Jews as an easy prey, but there's one thing the Amalekites failed to take into account, and that was an all-powerful God in heaven who was leading those Jews. And so there was a great victory that day for the Jewish people, the Jewish warriors. And God says, don't ever forget this now. Those people marked themselves of their own free will, of their own choice. They marked themselves as my enemies. And there's coming a day after I give them plenty of opportunity for repentance, plenty of opportunity for acknowledging me as God, after their day of my patience is gone, there's coming a judgment day. And so God wants us also to set up a memorial day and remember the day of God's justice. Now, this justice was not implemented until the reign of Saul, the first king of Israel. And so you're talking many, many years later that the Amalekites were given an opportunity for repentance and salvation, because God is so patient and so kind and not willing that any should perish. But the fact is, they will perish except they receive Christ as their Savior. Now, this always must be tempered with the instruction and the wisdom of Proverbs chapter 24, the idea of our enemy receiving justice. God warns us in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17 and 18, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. God says, don't rejoice when I bring justice on your enemy. He says, don't rejoice at all, but by my grace you would receive the same. And so we have a memorial day of the name of the Lord, remembering who we serve. We have the memorial day of the Word of God, remembering the primacy of the Bible. We have the memorial day of the judgment of God on His enemies, remembering His justice. But over in Exodus chapter 28, we have a fourth memorial day. Exodus chapter 28. In these chapters surrounding the passage that we'll be looking at here, verses 6 through 12 of Exodus 28, Moses is being given the instructions for the tabernacle, so that when he would leave the Mount of Sinai, he could go down and they could build this building, this structure for worshiping God. A part of this is the priestly garments, and that's what we're jumping into here in verse number 6. Moses is given the instruction of God that they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take the two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on the one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. Like the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. And thou shalt make them to be set in the ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And so what we have here in this is the priestly garments are being described. You have this ephod being described. And on that ephod, there's two stones, one on each shoulder of the priest, that every time he would go into the temple, every time he would offer sacrifice, every time in his priestly duties that he would offer prayer to God in heaven, he would be bearing on his shoulder the people that he's representing. And so what we find here is that he is interceding in his priestly office as he's bearing the burdens of his people, interceding for them on behalf of God. And so what we find here is a memorial day of intercessory prayer. God is wants us to remember to pray for others. The Christian religion, the Christian relationship with our Savior is never all about ourselves. It's never for our own benefit, but we're always looking out for others, always seeing how we can help others. And the greatest way that we can help a fellow human being is through prayer, intercessory prayer. Now, the priests had also another garment, the breastplate, that would hook to the ephod, and they would be joined together, and on that breastplate there would be 12 stones on the chest or near to the heart of the priest, and on those 12 stones were each of the 12 tribes. But on that ephod, it was on the shoulders carrying the burden. It speaks of intercessory prayer. We as Christians are called to intercessory prayer. That's why our Wednesday night midweek service, our prayer meeting, is so important, because we have a prayer sheet that we hand out where the burdens of our church members are listed, the burden of our lost loved ones, the burden of those who are our friends and our family that have slipped away from the Lord and are no longer living for Him, still saved but not living for the Lord, are on that list. Our health burdens are on that list. Ministry burdens, the burdens of our missionaries are on there, so that we can, as that high priest did, go into the very Holy of Holies and represent them, bear their burdens with them in prayer to our Savior. We need to have a memorial day of intercessory prayer. So important in the Christian life. We also have another memorial day, moving out of Exodus and into the next book, Leviticus. Chapter 23, we have the memorial of the name of the Lord. Remember who we serve. The memorial day of the Word of God. Remember the primacy of the Bible. The memorial day of the judgment on the enemy of God, remembering God's justice. The memorial day of intercessory prayer, remembering to pray for others. But in Leviticus chapter 23, we find a fifth memorial day. Verse number 24. Here the Bible simply says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month and the first day of the month shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation." Now what we have here is what's called the Feast of Trumpets. And so we have the memorial given to Moses, the memorial of the Feast of Trumpets. Now in God's prophetic plan, each of the feasts in the Jewish calendar, each of those feasts mentioned or referred to something in prophecy. The Passover, of course, was a prophetic symbol to the Jew of Christ, the Passover lamb. But as we come to the Feast of Trumpets, it's a long time since that Passover, and the Feast of Trumpets now, as a trumpet in the Jewish culture and in the culture of that time, would speak of a regathering or a gathering together. The Feast of Trumpets prophetically speaks of the believer's hope, the rapture of the church, that Christ is coming back, that we're not left in this world to just wander on our own and wind up wherever we wind up, but that there is a day, a particular day that God knows and only God knows, a very particular date on the calendar of mankind when Christ will step out of eternity, He will come to the clouds, and we will all be caught up together to be with Him forever. And so God says, I want you to remember that. He says, this is a precious truth. This will keep you going when things get tough. This will keep you resisting when the temptation grows strong. Knowing that this could be our great memorial day, this could be the day that Christ returns. You see, this life can be so overbearing. The psalmist addressed it, I believe, in Psalm 73. As he looked out at the world and saw the lost man prospering, looked at the own difficulties of his own life, and he said, what's the use? Why should I continue to live under the ordinances of God? Let's just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He says, until he went into the house of the Lord and considered what? Their end. You see, we need to keep this in mind. The fact that we're on our way to heaven. We're not citizens of this world. Yes, we're citizens of the United States of America, but ultimately our citizenship is in heaven, where Christ is seated, and where we'll spend an eternity. This lifetime is just a drop in the bucket of time. So let's be faithful in this drop in the bucket of time until God calls us home He says, always remember there's an eternity coming. And if we know Christ as our Savior, we'll enjoy it in heaven. If we don't know Christ as our Savior, we'll suffer the torments of hell for all eternity. With the memorial day of the Feast of Trumpets, remember the believer's hope. Let's move over now to Numbers, the next book in the Bible, Numbers 31, and let's see a sixth memorial day for the believers. Numbers chapter 31, we'll look just at one verse, the very last verse of the chapter, verse number 54. Numbers 31, verse 54, the Bible tells us that Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of the captains of thousands and of hundreds and brought it into the tabernacle of the congregation for a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. Now, we're jumping into the end of something that transpired there in the history of the Jews. You see, God told them back in verse 1 of this of chapter 31, Numbers 31, the same chapter, He tells them to go fight the Midianites. And so they gathered their forces, 1,000 soldiers out of each of the 12 tribes, 12,000 in whole, and they attacked the Midianites. And the battle ensues and takes place, and there's a great victory that day for the Jews. And they come back celebrating and joyous over the great victory that took place that day. And after the victory celebration is all done, the generals get together. And the generals begin talking, man, you won't believe, they begin sharing the stories, you won't believe what happened. Man, we attacked this huge force of Midianite soldiers, but we gave it all we had, we didn't think we had a chance in the world. But you can't believe what happened because every one of my soldiers came back alive. Every last, I didn't lose a single man in the battle. And one of the generals on the other side of the room has been listening. He says, you will not absolutely believe this. My story is even better than yours because as great as your story is, man, I went into this terrible ambush of the Midianite soldiers. We are far outnumbered, and I didn't lose a soldier either. And the stories went around the tent that day. Every last general said, I did not lose a man. They took an account. Not a single soldier of the Jews was lost. The Midianites were destroyed. They were wiped out. Every last one of them was killed in the battle, and not a single Jew spilled his blood that day. Sometimes God gives us protection, doesn't He? And so the generals of their own free will account came and said to Moses and Eleazar, said, look, we've already given an offering for God. We've given our tithes. He says, but we have been recounting the blessings of God, His protection, His hand on our lives and on our battle for Him. He says, because God has been so good and so protective of us, as a mother hen gathering her brood under her wings, we want to give even more. And Moses said, let's just keep this in the temple for a memorial. So that every time as men come to worship God, they'll see that and say, wow, look at that. And they'll remember God's protection in their lives. You see, God wants us to remember those times of protection in your life too. You see, we serve the same God. We can go up against great odds and come out victorious because we serve a great God, a God who changes not. And He wants us to remember and recount to generations that follow the protection of God that it's worth it to serve the Lord because He is so good and gracious and kind. A memorial day of God's protection. Well, there's one other that we need to look at. Joshua chapter 4. One final memorial day this morning, the seventh. Joshua chapter 4. Moses is no longer on the scene. He has died, gone to heaven. The baton has been passed now to his assistant, Joshua. The Jewish people are encamped on the east side of the Jordan River, just waiting for the word from God to cross that river and to conquer the promised land. Now, they were thinking that they had time, plenty of time, because it was the time of year like we're having right now when you've got all kinds of rain and the rivers are swelling and are full. We had a couple of lakes here in our backyard the last few days. They dried off just enough, really not enough to cut, but I was able to get the mower through it all and cut the grass. But that's the kind of time they were in. and the Jews were probably relaxing, thinking, boy, you know, with this weather, we can't cross that river. So we've got all kinds of time. Let's just sit back and take it easy. But God said, it's time to go. I'm sure Joshua would have scratched his head and said, Lord, don't you understand? Don't you say that to God so often? God, you just don't understand. God understands. He's omniscient. God said, I know about that river, Joshua. I know how swollen it is. And he said, I'd have it no other way. He said, here's what you do. You tell the priest to get that Ark of the Covenant, put it on their shoulders as they're supposed to carry it, and you have them march straight into that water. Joshua's probably thinking, God, I'll do it, but I don't think this is a good idea. And so he tells the priest, now you get that Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, you march into that water. Can you imagine if you're the priest in front? You imagine they had to draw lots to see who'd do that day. And it's usually a great honor to carry the Ark. They probably drew lots. You got stuck with it and you're on front. Well, they stepped in the water. You know what happened? The most amazing thing. The waters, they didn't quit running, but it says they heaped up. They heaped a great wall of water. Look what it says there in verse 4. Joshua chapter 4, verse 4. This may be a sign, verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared, of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then shall ye answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And so as the priests marched into that water, in verse number 16 of chapter 3, it says, the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city. Those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right against Jericho. So those priests stepped into the water. The water, just like a wall, was built instantly, and it began to just build up and collect. The people walked across. God told them to instruct Joshua that gets 12 strapping men, from one from each tribe, and as you're crossing that river, have them pick out a stone, a big stone. They had to carry it on their shoulder. Now, I just have a fist-sized stone. I carry that in my hands. A little bit bigger like that, a football size, I'd carry it down here. It'd be more comfortable. God says, get a stone that's got to go on your shoulder. Because when you get to the other side, I want you to stack those stones up and make a pillar. Now, there's a purpose in that pillar, not for worship, but a memorial. A memorial of the miracles that God works in the life of His children. You see, if we will investigate our lives, if we'll look at it openly and honestly, we'll see many, many times when God did a miracle on our behalf. And God wants us to relate that, just as He does with the protecting hand of God in our lives. He wants us to relate that to our children and our grandchildren and anyone who will listen. So it's passed from generation to generation. What a great and gracious God we have. The memorial of miracles, remembering those supernatural events that take place in all of our lives. We could chalk it up to coincidence. We can chalk it up to chance. We can chalk it up to good luck. But I'd rather chalk it up to God's sovereignty and His providence and the miracles that He does and still works today. Many memorial days in the Christian life. If you'll remember these days, it'll keep you walking faithfully and closely with our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the instruction of these chapters we looked at today. So many things to remember in our Christian life because You're so great. Father, all of these help us to remember who You are and keeps us on the straight and narrow way. Father, if we've slipped aside by any means, bring us back this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.